This weekend marks a significant anniversary for me. It was 40 years ago that I was ordained in Wesley Church and I was aged 39. This is the magnificent collection. And it is of its time. I have also here the presentation Bible, which was given as we are told to proclaim the word of God and to make it one's life work and the order of service. Some might like to see that afterwards. Now, all things have their beginning, and no doubt I have brought to my ministry and life aspects of my earlier years. Do you recognise that? I was about 12. I was a choir boy and altar server in my local Anglican church, and I loved it. Many years our family was involved at Hartwell Church of Christ. And during that time, for 2 years, on Friday evenings, I did a layperson's course at the Church of Christ College, which was in Glen Iris, now part of the freeway. And I met my dear wife during that time too, because I went along to what was called the Churches of Christ Young Adult Summer Conference, which was held at Monbulk and was held from Boxing Day for 1 week, 1959. And my dear wife was still together. Now, newly married in Bensdale, I'm talking about beginnings here, I was a high school teacher. And Yvonne and I went to the Methodist Church, as did others who were Churches of Christ, Baptist, Brethren, and even some exclusive Brethren people who had been excluded from the exclusive Brethren. I think between the two of us, we just about had every church job going. I was there for 9 years, Yvonne for eight. But the real joy about that church, and this is a very significant point, was the bonds between the families. If you don't know Bensdale, it's 175 miles, put that into kilometres, from Melbourne, and it's quite a long way from the nearest next biggest town, either way. This became a home away from home. We had tremendous relationships one with the other. Now, to go back a bit, as a young teenager, I was profoundly affected by my mother's faith renewal experience when I was about 14. And must admit also, after that, those years, feeling more than one push towards overseas service, which I dismissed, as many do, with those theologically wrong words, "I'm not good enough." Well, when we were in Bensdale, very early one Saturday morning in March in 1962, we were married in January 62, in our quaint converted wine cellar flat overlooking the river, cows and crops, the minister came down very early on the Saturday morning. He came to ask me if I would consider taking the service the next day at Painesville, as the designated preacher had become extremely ill. And so began my on the plan, as it was called, preaching journey as a layperson at first. Not long after that, the Presbyterian minister got an idea that people didn't walk out on me. So he asked me if I would take the occasional service in the outlying churches of the home mission station. We were back in Melbourne, and in 1972, I was knocked about a bit by some disappointments in our life. And we began, Yvonne and I, to talk between ourselves about what special Christian service we could be involved in. And though it's out of date now, we were particularly interested in being cottage parents. I used to go for long walks for meditation, along the East Malvern Golf Course. And it's like words in my head came, "You shall be a minister." It came to me, and that wasn't specifically what was in my mind at all. I hadn't really contemplated that. It wasn't good enough. But the words of some who were unaware of what I was going through and what I was thinking affirmed this. When I had preaching in a church and different things like that, people would make those comments. I was quite unaware of the considerable steps in the candidature process, but the way things opened up made this process a very clear personal affirmation that it was a call. And in October 1972, I was accepted by the conference as a candidate for the ordained ministry, but required to do a Bachelor of Divinity because I was a graduate, and other studies at the United Faculty of Theology for 3 years. In Methodist practice, after you left college, but then as a minister of the church, you had the status of what was called a probationer. It's like some churches have a deacon before their priesthood, but we in the Methodists were probationers. And we had to write an ordination thesis in that year while being the minister of the church. And I was then ordained in the following October conference in 1976 with these wonderful people. By the way, there were women beforehand and afterwards, but not in that particular year. However, the Methodist Church was generous. Its accepted candidates were given housing or a place in Queen's College if they were unmarried, living allowances for doing the course, no fees, and payment for any pastoral responsibilities that you had. And in the Theological College, we also had pastoral support groups under various lecturers or professors. And mine was Professor Eric Osborne, who came and took some services for me when I felt a bit overwhelmed. Of course, study and a church to pastor part-time, part-time church, is demanding and even at times stressful. And I'm sure my son would agree with that. I suspect it was a bit hard at times on the family, but I found both theological studies and the church that I was looking after stimulating. And we in the theological hall had a general freedom to develop our own theological position. Even Yvonne and I had decided on this path together, and we knew that it would in many ways have to be sacrificial. But it was, I don't believe it was sacrificially, financially, but it has costs on one's life and family and what you're going to do and so on. But she is my dear partner in life and in ministry. As one therefore ordained in the Methodist Church as it was clearly stated in what was called the Book of Laws, and I quote here, "The ministry is not to be regarded as a profession, but a vocation from Christ. The years of training enable the church to judge the reality of the call, and ordination is the recognition of that call and the setting apart for the lifelong service." End of quote. Thus, what we talk about is the threefold aspects of ministry: word, sacrament, and pastoral care are for the nurture, care, and building up not only of the church, but of each individual in their Christian journey. It is the minister or the pastor with the whole of the people of God that is called to Christ's mission to the whole world. It isn't one person's job alone. I'm sure you're aware of that. When a congregation therefore calls a pastor, it is saying, come, share your particular gifts with us, that serving together as the body of Christ, with Christ as our example and strength, we may share in the mission and service of Christ. Mission and ministry is never just one person's activity. We are all aware of the image of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the body of Christ with the interrelated gifts, and Romans 12 where it's repeated, and Ephesians 4 which speaks about different people who are gifted to the church. Thus, ordination doesn't make one different. It recognises a calling. Not different, but recognition of one's call. It does make us answerable to the church and to one another. When I sat on ministerial committees, and I've sat on a few committees in my time, we looked in the candidates for faith, faithfulness and enthusiasm. One person used to call it a fire in the belly. All right. A desire to live out the reality of faith. We look for gifts and graces and the ability to minister not to just one set of people, but to whoever you're called upon to minister to. I believe that this calling is one of great privilege. Proclaiming the word of God and the grace of Christ. The joy of sharing Holy Communion and baptism. Sharing life's joys and sorrows. The responsibility of speaking words of forgiveness and renewal. Assisting people in times of need. Of friendship, love and trust. Of being supported by those we support and blessed by those we blessed. But we are distressed by conflict, face times, discouragement, and even have to deal with destructive issues because the church is made of ordinary people. In ministry, I have found strength in the relationship with others in the ministry, with and without one's own denomination. By having a confidant in whom I can share openly. Finding fellowship in the wider church, that is in doing other things beyond one's congregation, as well as with the wider Christian community. In time off, in holidays, with one's family and friends, of keeping alive with study and seminars and things like that. And we've had two such courses in the Holy Land, which was absolutely marvellous. And the absolute renewal of Christ's table of love, which we'll share together again tonight. Dr. Jill Tabart was at one time the Uniting Church President, and she's a general practitioner in Tasmania. And when she was president, her mission seemed to be that she wanted ministers, pastors, church workers to look after your health. To look after your health. Look after yourselves so you can look after others. Yvonne and I shared a fairly traditional ministry. That is, two for the price of one. But nevertheless, there were differences in different places and of activity and style. I hope this works. Here is the joy of a family wedding when we were at Highfield Road in Canterbury in the Surrey Hills Parish. Here is a 50-somethings minister at Rosanna. Worship, you know, relaxes both body and soul. Sometimes one needs to be convinced about something, that something's a good idea, even pushed into it. Well, here's the blessing of the animals that we had at Hurst Bridge regularly each year. And every congregation loved my wife. as do you. Now here's where we've been in ministry. The first two was during my, was just an assistant, a youth worker and so on. Then I had in the west of Melbourne while I was doing my studies, probationer and then ordination at Mole Creek and Dalloraine, and then three Uniting Church calls, and then I called back to do some ministry at Wandon. It's never over, is it? As an old Methodist, I can't really talk about ministry without referring to this gentleman. You know who he is, do you? That is John Wesley. You don't go to him to know what marriage is about, by the way. He had a very unsuccessful marriage. He was never home. But he reminds us that faith is not only felt and experienced, it's not just there, felt and experienced, but it has to be lived out in life. And also in social action, in the world. The life and mission developed new aspects as he went through his very long life and circumstance. And he had a real enthusiasm for the gospel. How many of us would ride 250,000 miles on horseback and preach 40,000 sermons? 40,000 sermons. Bit of a hero, but not in marriage. One of my favourite New Testament passages we had read is John chapter 21 today. I want to refer to it briefly. The risen Christ at the Galilean lake, who to the one who had denied him three times, now with three questions clearly restores Peter's heart and mind to friendship, love, and what had been shattered by the frightening path to the cross. Here is the restored Peter's clear call again to Christ's mission. And what follows is that these followers of Christ become changed people. The threefold question and response, we hear Jesus use love in both senses of doing good, active thing, and of affection, friendship, agape. Philia, rather. Here Jesus calls for the care of all his people and especially for the little ones. Not only the children, but the vulnerable and those who need our special protection. The words are, of course, relevant to all of us in the church and is the model, the example of our pastoral care. And Jesus has strong words to say about my little ones who are led astray. The model charge for ordination that's in the Uniting Church Old Book has warnings about hurt caused by our actions or neglect. For goodness sake, let us take the initiative ourselves whenever there is hurt, to heal hurts, whether or not we feel that we are in the right or not, or wronged. Never let hurts fester. Remember, the church is called to be a community of forgiveness, acceptance and love. While it is true that there are particular ministries and callings, it is also true that the church is all of us together sharing our God-given gifts in Christian service. There are not two kinds of Christian service, the super and the ordinary. For every Christian's life is a calling. True, there are those who have been especially important and influential in our lives and in the past, and we give God thanks for them. And there are occupations where the responsibilities and opportunities for Christian service are very obvious. But ultimately, this is true for every follower of Jesus. And the greatest joy, therefore, is to live in Christ and for Christ, together in Christ's service and mission. As the risen Christ said in that upper room, "As the Father sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." Amen.